Speaking of online, I saw this. I saw this viral clip. Maybe you've seen this. It's on America's Got Talent. Anybody watch that show? I do. Sometimes it's kind of fun. So there's a singer called Nightbird, and she was a Golden Buzzer winner. Hope that's not a spoiler alert for you. But she said this, and this quote made it all the way across the internet. You can't wait until life isn't hard anymore to decide to be happy. Isn't that a great quote? And as it turns out for her, she's a singer. She's also is facing cancer. She has a fairly low chance of long-term, survival from it. And what just struck me about the quote is not only how profound it was, but that, as that quote kind of made its way across the internet, is people just went, wow, how insightful, right? Is it any surprise to you that she's a Christian? Now, I don't know a whole lot of her backstory, but I was actually reading her little blog a couple days ago, and it's just loaded with these testimonies of faith. And so as we conclude, we're in a series called Emotions, and we're looking at different emotions, and we've looked at some of the really hard ones like grief and anger. I wanted us to finish things off with an emotion that's actually really positive, and this idea of where does happiness come from? Or more particularly, where does joy come from? Because I believe that as human beings, we are in general, we are frustrated happiness seekers. We go to great lengths to try to find happiness. On some level, that is the bedrock of pieces of our marketing and our economy, because we believe that items can make us happy, and to a certain degree they can. I'm going to talk about my guitar again. I love that guitar. If we had a fire in our house, after I got the people out and maybe the pets out, I'm back and forth on whether or not I go back for the cat. But I go for the photo albums and I probably reach for the guitar if I had time. Because there's some items you just go, yeah, that's kind of cool, that's fun. Or experiences, we seek happiness in experiences. That's why we go on vacations. That's why some of you have gone skydiving. You've jumped out of a perfectly good airplane. But we value these experiences, the endorphins, they come rushing through our bodies, or just to be on a mountaintop or to go for a great hike. We love those things, and they do bring us a measure of happiness. Unfortunately, we also sometimes will seek happiness in substances. We've seen that, especially in this past year. We will do all sorts of things to numb the pain or to make ourselves feel good. And many of us have had those experiences of where then something that we sought because we thought we could find a measure of happiness or at least a measure of relief in those substances ended up just pulling, taking so much control that it just sucked the happiness away. But we long for it, don't we? We long for it. Every person is a happiness seeker. And it can be fleeting sometimes. How's your joy level today? Okay, so 1 to 10, some of you? Okay. Because there is a difference between happiness and joy. Let me put up a definition of joy, just so you know what we're working with here. That joy would be this ongoing sense of happiness and well-being. Because that's the other problem with happiness, isn't it? Is it doesn't last very long. There are things that can that can increase our general sense of happiness, but it wears off. But we have this awareness and longing and. And we're going to go deeper into the scriptures today on this topic of joy. What's it mean to have an ongoing sense of happiness? So I asked about your joy level. Who here, just a show of hands, it's just us now, or online, you can do this. And Rick, if you see anybody that has a level higher than an 8, let's just put up their post right now. Tell you. Okay, who here, if it's on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 to 10, you'd say, today I'm a 5 or better. 5 or better? 6 or better? 7 or better? 8 or better? So hands are going down. I know, it's tricky, isn't it? 9? Any 10 out of 10s for joy? Are you serious? You are my hero. That is fantastic. Do we have any online 10s? 8 or 9? No, we don't. Oh, see, that's because they're upset because they're having to watch church online. They want to be in the room. I know. So you can come join us, most of you. Well, except for those of you that are watching from Southern California right now or from British Columbia. So just open up the borders and, you know, we'll figure it out. But even for those of us who know where joy comes from, it can be fleeting, isn't it? And so I know that today, for some of this, you know, some of what we're going to be talking about, hopefully it's a little bit of review, a little bit just reminders of some Christian fundamentals. But you know, we need those reminders. I need those reminders because there's, even when I know where joy comes from, there's all these different things that can erode joy, that can feel like it's pulling it away. You know, like, it's a tougher time in ministry, and so there's some pieces that are a little harder that way, or, you know, or anticipating a week of 100-plus degree temperatures, not adding to my joy, pulling away from the joy, can some concerns about all of those things. So it's all the more important that we ground our hearts in the biblical truth of joy. You with me? With me? Some of you don't look like you're with me. You're like scowling. I'm like, if I see you scowl and you told me you have a joy level higher than 8, I'm going to say liar, liar. Pants on fire. Now, if you're here and you're not feeling real good and you have a joy level of 3, that's okay. That's okay. You came to the right place. You came to the right place. Because if there's one thing that you remember from today, from our exploration of the scriptures, and just even this basic reminder, it's this: true joy comes from God. True joy. See, that's why that clip went viral, is because our culture doesn't know that. But she did. The true joy comes from God, and the true joy that we experience from God is not dependent on our immediate circumstances. Now, it can be enhanced by our immediate circumstances. I hope you're having that dream vacation this year. I hope you live in the house of your dreams, or you got that award at work, or your kids are doing great in school, or whatever those external situations are that can enhance our joy. But our true joy, our deepest sense of well-being comes from the Lord. He is the author of it. And did you know that God's design, His desire, and His plan for you? Like when God was thinking about, what do I want to do with Larry? What do I want to do with Andrew? What do I want to do with John? You know, what do I want to do with Anne? As God was thinking about you and in your design and in your life, His plan for you includes you knowing and experiencing His joy. Did you know that? It's a good reminder. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10, verse that many of you have memorized, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Say that with me. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, whose joy is it? It's the Lord's joy. It's the Lord's joy. That God has joy and He wants to give it to you. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 15, verses 10 through 12. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this. Why did I tell you all this stuff about my commands? Why did I give you all this instruction? Why did I tell you how to live? Here's why. I've told you this so that my, that's our key word. What's the word? Jesus' joy. My joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Jesus wants to give you a joy download of his joy. His joy to you. I've told you all this stuff, so my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. Then he gets to verse 12. He reiterates the command, the very fundamental command. If there's one thing you remember about what Jesus taught, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. We should make that a church slogan. Don't you think? Like, Paul, would you work on that? Could you make a, like, maybe plant a hedge or something somewhere out there? You know, because it seems like this is an important thing, you know, that the Savior of the world, the one who is co-authoring in creation, the one who wants to download your life with his joy, says, here's how you do that, is follow my command to love each other as I love you. And as you do, my joy will be in you. And your joy will be complete. So every day, Andrew, that your joy is resting at a 6, you know where to get that refill. My joy will be in you. And Jesus he acted out of his joy. I don't know if you caught this when you were reading the book of Hebrews, and I hope you have at some point in your life. Hebrews 12, the second half of verse 1 and 2. And so let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the, what's the word? Joy. The joy set before him. He, Jesus, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. That even in Jesus' dying on the cross for you and for me and for us, part of that was him living out and living into his joy. Now, talk about joy that is not dependent on circumstances. That's someone who has something to teach us about what it can mean to have a sense of well-being and even happiness in the hardest of situations. Joy comes from God. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, would write this. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, many of you have this memorized. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then what's the second word? Joy. Peace. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. Let's go back to the first half of that verse. Love. Joy. Joy, that's right. Peace. Forbearance. The joy is a byproduct. It's one of the things that results from us spending time with God. It's something that comes from God. And it's something that our souls discover as we set our hearts on God. It is fruit. Now, I love the fruit analogy, and it's so helpful for us because, you know, it reminds us that those deep elements of Christian transformation, well, salvation, it happens in a heartbeat. I mean, it happens with just the moment you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. So whether you are 8 months old or you're 88 years old, the moment you turn your heart over to Jesus, forgive me of my sin, make me a child, you are saved. But the fruit of the Spirit points to this deeper work of sanctification. You know, there are attributes, there's character attributes that God wants to develop in your life and in my life that result from these ongoing connection with God, this abiding with God. Just like, you know, you don't go out and you plant a, you know, I don't know what that is either. Maybe it's a message from the Lord. We'll find out. doesn't sound like it, but I don't know. But you know, you don't go out into your backyard and plant an apple seed and then you know on Monday water it on Tuesday and wait and expect to harvest an apple on Wednesday. It takes a while. It takes a while. The fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit can plant His seed in your life in a heartbeat, but as you abide with Christ, as we walk with Jesus over time, some things naturally happen in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. I just want us to notice that, to lock into that. Joy, it comes from Jesus. It comes from abiding in Christ. So I want us to just think about a couple of things relative to that today. You know, if joy comes from God, if joy comes from that ongoing relationship with God, there's at least a couple of things that we need to do. You know, the first is you know, as the gunk comes up in our life, as the garbage comes up in our lives, is give God the garbage. Give Him the stuff. Your anxieties, your fears, your doubts, your pains, your hurts, your sins, all of those elements inside of us and around us that cause us to distance ourselves from Him. Whether that's through apathy or through even deliberate, direct sin, give God all of your garbage. Give Him everything. Allow Him to remove those barriers that are preventing the fruit in your life. James chapter 5, verse 16 puts it this way: therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So give Him all the garbage. Give Him all the gunk. Give Him all the stuff so that He can start to fill your life with joy. The second piece that comes along with that is, and this is the part that maybe if you've been walking with the Lord for some time, and I know these are things that for me are very much growth areas in my life, is to begin to learn to love your limits. Learn to love your limits. That does not sound very American, does it? You're right. We love to think of ourselves as these limitless individuals. We love Superman, Wonder Woman, the Lone Ranger, John Wayne. And those people that, you know, have you noticed that you know, the superheroes in American culture, they never get tired? Remember, like, you know, growing up watching Indiana Jones, and which you go back and you watch this and you go, oh my gosh, this is culturally insensitive. And it's just bizarre. You know, here's this action hero, and he never has to take a potty break. He doesn't even get thirsty. He can run for like, you know, like all day long, and all he needs is like one shot of whiskey and he's ready to keep going. We love to think about the limitless individual. We love to hold those characters up, and yet that is not what God calls us to as his followers. Here's just a, you know, a few things even to be thinking about with that. Like, do you realize that every command in the Bible, every command, everything that God tells us to do in and with our lives is designed to enhance the joy in our life? Everything. Everything. So you think about, let me just hit on some of the ones that we love to, especially in our culture, we love to abandon these. Some of the sexual teachings and limits. Every one of them is designed to enhance intimacy in marriage and to build stronger, more trusting families. Those close relationships that are designed to enhance our joy. When we choose sin over obedience every single time, that's choosing to walk away from some of the pathways that God has designed for us for our joy. Or you think about even some of the emotional commandments, like forgive one another as I have forgiven you, all those kind of things. God tells us to do that because bitterness and joy are incompatible. We love to harbor bitterness because it feels so good. It's got tangy, sweet taste to it. Revenge, you know? We long for this, and yet, the longer we're trying to roll the taste of bitterness around in our metaphorical mouths, you know, those the more we hang on to those hurts rather than giving them to God and choosing pathways of forgiveness, the more we are hindered in our life of joy. Think about the people in your life who are bitter, who are angry at everything. Do you see joy in their life? Now, in those areas, maybe as you look in the mirror and you go, here's areas and things I am still hurt about and upset about in these places where I've harbored unforgiveness. Is there joy in that area of your life? Probably not. That's why God calls us to follow him in those pathways of forgiveness, because forgiveness ultimately leads to greater joy, to greater community. Or you think even about the laws in the scriptures that talk about, you know, about what it means to build greater community. Don't lie to one another. Don't steal from one another. Look out for one another. Care for one another. I love in Brian in your prayer just that reminder that, you know, how we treat those in need around us reveals a lot about our heart. Those habits of generosity, among other things, as we follow in those habits, as we follow in those patterns, as we choose obedience over selfishness, it enhances our joy. Now, it's not the only reason we follow God. Ultimately, hopefully, we follow God because God is just simply worthy of worship. But it's a beautiful byproduct of getting our priorities in life right. When we fix our hearts on the Lord, we serve him because he is worthy, because he is good. We worship him because he is worthy of worship. Things happen in our hearts, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Aren't those all the things that you long for in your life? You know, or the people you especially admire around you, and you go, wow, I hope I end up like them. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Joy comes from the Lord. It's also learning to love our limits and in not just, you know, the sins that we avoid, but also the habits we choose, you know, things like Sabbath and rest. Do you know that rest is spiritual? Like setting aside a 24-hour period every week just to refresh, to spend time with the closest relationships around you and some of the, you know, the activities that are nurturing to your soul as an act of worship, that is a deeply spiritual thing to do. For many people, that Saturday was even a Jewish Sabbath. That's a beautiful thing. You know, or for those of us that work a lot on Sundays, maybe we Sundays are not the right day to say, hey, here's the Sabbath. I take Tuesdays off. But or maybe today is part of your Sabbath. You are setting aside time. You're setting aside time to rest, to be with God. Rest is deeply spiritual. Some of you, you'll hear this and you go, I want more joy in my life. I want to trust God with Sabbath. I want to trust God with rest. You're going to do an extremely spiritual thing this afternoon. You're going to take a nap.
And it's going to be awesome.
God does not call you to go, 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 go. He does call you and me and our lives to be productive and fruitful. But that doesn't mean we don't take a break. Is there a day in the week that you have set aside for rest? I hope you do. Because as we learn to live within our limits, as we learn to love those limits, God, I know you have not called me to go, 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 go every single day. There are times, at least once a week, at least, and I would challenge you, a 24-hour period where you just pull back from the productivity and let God nurture your soul. That's why on Tuesdays you'll often see me out with my family, often on a paddleboard, or actually more importantly, you probably won't see me on a hike somewhere, sitting in a little room with my guitar writing songs, because those are things that are nurturing to my soul. He invites us into those places and spaces. We learn to live within the limits. We learn to embrace the healthy pleasures of life. This is an area I am really growing in. Even the idea of, like, when you sit down to a really great meal, chew slowly. I have to remember that sometimes. Because some of y'all are fantastic cooks, and you've had me over for dinner, John Brandt. And when you sit down with a meal that's been cooked by Bonnie Schwark, or Betty Mosher, or Anita Thompson, chew slowly. God invites us to embrace the positive pleasures in our life. That's part of living within our limits. I've got three fingers pointing back at me right now, but slowing down sometimes. Taking time to honestly enjoy the good in your life can be one of the most spiritual things you do. And it's one of those avenues that we see just built into the scriptures. As you think of whether it's the Old Testament and their emphasis on the Sabbath, or Jesus, how he said the Sabbath wasn't, man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath for man. He's telling us, don't just turn it into all these rules as if this is the checklist you need to follow. Embrace this as a gift from God. God designed you for rest. So live within your limits. And learn to love living within those limits. It's one of the ways that God builds joy in our life, develops the fruit of the Spirit in our life, because we are taking time that is dedicated and set apart for Him. The other habit that goes along with that, and many of you already do this, and I just encourage you to continue in this, and if you've grown up in the church, you've probably heard about this, like the importance of every single day setting time aside just to spend with the Lord. That quiet time, for me, that's first thing in the morning. It's a beautiful thing. Oh my gosh. For some, early in the morning is not the best time. I understand that. But you take time, deliberately taking time to spend with Jesus. To review your day before Him in prayer. Or to ask the question, and this is the habit, if anything, I'm hoping that through this series on the emotions that we develop, I've included this pretty much every week, and I just challenge you to incorporate this somewhere in your prayer life. Right now, Lord. Lord, right now, I am feeling. God, here is what I am experiencing in my inner world right now. Right now, I am happy. Right now, I am sad. Right now, I am depressed. Right now, I'm discouraged. Right now, I'm feeling gratitude. But to be to begin to dial in to the reality of your emotional life. God gave you your emotions as a gift. It's part of His image inside you. So what you feel is real. Now, it's not always true. Our culture forgets that. It's not always true. It needs to be reviewed against the Word of God. It needs to be reviewed against the absolute truth of who God is. But what you feel is real. So give it to the Lord. Talk to Him about it. Invite Him into your inner world on a daily basis. Daily time set aside with the Lord. He wants to download His joy into your life through that. A deeper sense of the peace and well-being and even the happiness that He longs for you to have. And then time set aside each week. A day. It's just dedicated to rest and refreshment in Jesus. And then maybe, like you see in the Gospels, there's times where Jesus goes off into the wilderness. Jesus goes camping for a longer period of time because He wants to just listen to the Lord. To listen to His Father. Maybe God's calling you to a more extended time away, a time of retreat, a time of extended prayer. Maybe this summer there can be a time that you just do that, just to spend time with the Lord, doing things that are fun and connect you to His creative work in the world. And whatever that looks like for you, but it's learning to love the limits in our life. We're not meant to go all the time. God wants to fill you, to meet you, that the fruit of the Spirit can develop in you. Psalm 16, verse 11 puts it this way. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with, that's our key word, what's the word? Joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Let's just read that second half of the verse again. These are one of those truths that we just kind of miss sometimes in our church upbringing. We're so darn serious, aren't we? Sometimes. You will fill me with joy in your presence. There is joy in the presence of the Lord. Joy. The joy you've been longing for. The joy that even like the singer Nightbird, even though she is facing tremendous medical hardship, there is still something peaceful and right and good in her soul. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And you think of the heaven that God has designed us for. You know, heaven is not just some formal, stodgy place. It's a place of pleasure. You realize that when we go to spend, you know, our eternity with God in the new heaven and in the new earth, that all the pleasures of life right now that are so muted, we're going to have it like, you know, full spectrum, full color. Set your heart on that. The best meal that you have ever tasted on earth, and I pray you have experienced some incredible meals on earth, will be like, I'm trying to think of a food I can diss without like really making people angry, but it'll like grape nuts. You know, like beets. I know some of you love beets, but wait till you taste the beets in heaven. Even there, I'm gonna like them. The very best of earth now is just a shadow of what will be. God designed us for those eternal pleasures. That every positive and good gift in our life, it comes from the Lord. So, as we take this to the Lord in prayer, I want to invite you to do something. So, will you put that latter half of the passage up again on the screen? You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Will you just extend your right hand? Extend your right hand. And if you want to, you can even close your eyes and just imagine God extending his right hand to you. The God of the universe wants you to know his joy. I've told you those things so my joy can be in you and your joy may be complete. He wants to fill you with joy in his presence, that you would experience the pleasures of God, that every good thing he has built into the world could be experienced to its fullness, color, music, food, drink, touch, sunlight, water. Is there any garbage you need to give over to God today? If your hand is open, I just invite you to just talk to him about it. Is there bitterness you need to hand over? Is there some addictive behavior you've been turning to? You need to hand it over and ask him for help. Are there areas of selfishness in your life you just need to give over to God? Are there some really negative emotions that you just need to invite him in to help you process those things? Remember, God never condemns us for our feelings, but our feelings don't always tell us the truth. Are there some of those you need to just give over to God? Just keep your hand open before him. Are there some limits of God that you need to embrace? For some right now, you're going to make a decision to go home and take a nap this afternoon because the truth is you're just really tired. Maybe it's to mark out some time in your calendar. Whether that's each day, I pray it is. Or how long has it been since you really took a day off? Lord, work in our lives. Help us to receive from you the good that you have for us. Thank you that you desire joy for your children. Lord, help us to trust you. Free us from the lies of culture that say that joy is found in our possessions or our experiences. Though thank you for the good that we can experience in all of those things. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. To remember where joy really comes from. Thank you, Jesus, that it comes from you. With your hand out, just take a moment, just put you and him, just talk to him about whatever he's impressing on your heart this morning. What are you longing for? What are you asking him for? What are you feeling today? Give it to him. Just take take a moment with him.